once again. We're going to do things a little different this morning. We're going to have our children's sermon at this time. So I'm going to ask all the elementary age kids if y'all would come forward. We won't be having children's church today, but we are going to have Pastor Powell. So if y'all would come forward at this time. All the children, y'all don't be bashful now. I know y'all weren't bashful this morning. All right, got some more coming. Y'all don't be bashful. Come on, Jace, you can come. It's all right. Isn't this wonderful? Y'all doing good this morning? It's so good to see y'all. I'm going to tell y'all the candy cane story today, and I bet some of y'all heard this, but y'all all know the candy cane. But this candy cane tells a wonderful, wonderful story about Jesus, okay, and the true meaning of Christmas. A long time ago in the 1800s sometimes, a man in Europe, at this time he was a candy maker, but he was a Christian and he loved the Lord. But at this time, as Christians, you couldn't share the gospel. You couldn't openly tell people about Jesus. So he prayed that God would help him find a way to keep the Christmas story going. And so this candy maker prayed, and the Lord laid this upon his heart. And he made this, and he invented this. And when he invented this, he invented it for a purpose, to share a story, to give a message, because you couldn't do it openly. So he hoped and prayed that when a child would get this candy cane, that the message and the story of Jesus would be declared unto them, okay? And I'm going to tell you what this candy cane stands for. And he made this in a wonderful shape. And first off, it's in the shape of a shepherd's staff, right? It looks just like a shepherd's staff because Jesus and the Lord is our shepherd, isn't he? He's the one that leads us and guides us and causes us to lie down in green pastures. But what's even greater than that when you flip it over, what is that? A J that stands for the greatest name on earth, isn't it? And this represents the precious name of Jesus, a name that is above every single name. But this isn't soft candy. What kind of candy is this? Hard candy, right? And that's why he made it a hard candy, because he wanted to prove the picture that Jesus is the rock. He is a solid foundation in which we can build our life on. And what's the solid color here? Red, white, it's stripe, right? There's stripes all down this. And the stripes represents the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because by his stripes we are healed, right? And these stripes represent the crucifixion of Jesus. The white represents the purity and the pureness of Jesus. Do you realize when Jesus lived on this earth, he never sinned? He was perfect. He was the spotless Lamb of God. You know what the red represents? What does the red represent? His blood. That's right. What does his blood do? That's right. But what does the blood do? It washes away our sin. So every time we look at this, we see a pure Savior, but we also see a Savior that shed his blood so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, when you open this up and you smell it, it's that peppermint smell, isn't it? You know, peppermint is a similar smell to hyssop. And hyssop is something that was used in the old days when they would sacrifice. And the Bible said when this Savior would go up before the Lord, it would be a sweet-smelling Savior. That means that God was satisfied with what took place. Jesus became our Lamb. He became our sacrifice. He took our place. And the smell of this and this aroma represents that God was satisfied with what Jesus did. Aren't you glad that he's satisfied with what Jesus did? Now all we have to do is to put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this is what I like. What do we do when we get it? We break it. And we start eating it. When we break it, it represents the broken body of Jesus that he broke and shed for you and for me. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And this is what I like the most. It's hard to do with a microphone. But what is that? What does that represent? His love. Nobody loves you more than the Lord. The Lord loves you so much that He gave you His only begotten Son. That's the Christmas story. That's the reason of the season. Do y'all want a candy cane? All right. I figured y'all would get excited about that. Isn't it good? But every time you look at this candy cane, I want you to be reminded about Jesus and that wonderful story, okay? I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you for these children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all get your candy cane for you. Go back.
I like candy canes too. At this time, Lacey and Jennifer's going to bring us a couple of specials.
underneath the stars. Just a simple man and wife somewhere in the dark. His words cut the silent night. Take my hand, for the child that you carry is God's own. Though the road is long, we're not that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy begins. For in our arms we'll cherish him. We're not that far from
microphone earlier. Miss V said, "Are you fixing to sing?" I said, "No, I'm not going to do that to y'all." John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Isn't the Lord wonderful? What a great day it's been to be in the Lord's house. It's good to see a great crowd out here today. We've got our children in here. Kids, I just want to ask you for a few minutes. I won't keep you very long. I know a preacher says that a lot and lies a lot. But I will be done when the Holy Spirit tells me to be done. But I don't plan to keep you very long. I do want your attention. What a great sight this is to see your love and passion for the Lord. No greater place to be on the Lord's birthday than right here in His house celebrating. He's worthy. He's worthy. Somebody said when we established these services, they said, "You're having service on Christmas Day, I get it out." And I said, "Yeah, why wouldn't we? It's the Lord's birthday." What a great privilege we have here today. John chapter 1. I want us to stand to reverent the word. Little different Christmas story today. I want to preach to you Christmas according to John. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God. Isn't that beautiful? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Give me power to preach your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little different Christmas story today. If you look in the book of Matthew, you'll get the traditional story. There in the book of Luke, you'll get the traditional story. When we begin to talk and to tell the story of Christmas, we automatically go to the physical story. We begin to tell the story about the angels. We begin to tell the story about Mary and Joseph. And we begin to share the physical things that took place that day in Bethlehem. And what a great event that took place that day in Bethlehem. But I want you to know that day was so much more important than just a manger in a stable. It was so much important than just a star in the sky and the wise men and the shepherds. I want you to know more than the physical, great physical things that took place on that wonderful day. And all of those things are good and all of those things are great. But so many more things took place that day. Because this was not just any normal child. This was the God child. This was the man child that would be born from the seed of God given to humanity. And so this was different. And while we can tell the physical story and while we can explain all the physical things, friend, there's a story that's hidden there that is open to us in the Gospel of John that he gives us, that tells us about this birth, what makes it so great. I want to tell you the Christmas story according to John. I want to share, number one, the person of Christmas. Notice the person of Christmas. May I tell you, it's not Santa Claus. The person of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And John said, in the beginning was the Word. Notice the person of Christmas. Notice his existence. It says here, in the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? Yes, a baby was born that day 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. But understand, Jesus didn't just start that day. Jesus has always been. Jesus has always been from the beginning of time. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In that very beginning, the Hebrew word Elohim is that plural that represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. On the day of creation, not only was God the Father there, but God the Son was there. Jesus was there. And while this baby was born, understand this, Jesus has always existed. He didn't just begin that day. He always has been, and he always will be. Amen. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. He has always been. Let me tell you something. You don't always know what's around you because everything changes, but there's one constant thing that has always been, and it's been Jesus. And while Mary beheld that baby, let me tell you something. His life didn't start that day. His life has been going for all of eternity. And let me tell you something. It's still going because he's still alive. Amen. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Notice what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This speaks of his equality with God. God. There he was in the beginning with God. When you had God the Father, you had God the Son. He was equal with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the equal of God is now here on earth? That meant all of the power of God and all of the greatness of God is right there in this little baby. Because he was with God. He was equal with God. And I want you to know that yes, he took on flesh. But this didn't lower him because he was still God. And this was God that dwelt among us, and He was equal with the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That when this little baby was born, this wasn't just any baby. This was God. This was the Son of God. Notice the last part of this verse. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice the essence of His person. He was essentially God. This is who He was. And this is what's so amazing to me, that here's this little baby and held by Mary. And she's sitting here looking at this little child. And this is the same child that was in that burning bush that appeared to Moses. And he declared to be the great I Am. I want you to understand that this little child that she was holding was God and was with God from the very beginning. And essentially was God. And this was the God that divided the Red Sea. This was the God that rained manna down from above. Do I have your attention this morning? I want you to understand that this child was set apart from any other child. Not because of the manger. Not because there wasn't any room in the inn. Not because of the angels. But because of who He was. Because He was and is and always will be God. He's the Son of God. You say, "Preacher, that's a lot to grasp." It is. It's a lot to grasp. But there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're three in the same. I don't get it, but I have faith in it. And God the Son dwelt among men that day. I want you to notice in verse 3. Notice verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Notice His creation. The Bible said that all things were made by Him. Think about this little baby that she had. This is the Creator of the universe. Now that's hard to grasp, isn't it? Here's this little child that has created everything in the world. In the book of Colossians, I love that verse where it says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And that word "consist" in the Greek is an old English word that simply represents glue. He's the glue to the galaxy, if you will. He is the source. He is the substance that is holding everything together. All things consist by Jesus. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Listen. Here's a little baby that is born in this earth. And by this little baby and by this person, all things consist. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is holding everything together. This whole world is held together by the hand of God. And this child that came to this earth was holding everything together. And He's still holding everything together. There's a lot of chaos in this world, isn't it? But you understand this. He's still on His throne. He's still holding it all together. And when you think everything has gone a wreck and everything's gone crazy, you remember He's still got it in His hands. Amen. He is the glue that is holding all of this together. Who's the person of Christmas? Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's why we're here. That's why we can sing. That's why we have victory, because of the person of Christmas. It's not Santa Claus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, a name that is above every name. Isn't it a beautiful name? Isn't it a sweet name? Isn't it a precious name? He's altogether lovely this morning. I want you to know there's not anybody sweeter than Jesus Christ. What a wonderful person. What a wonderful person. Notice the purpose of Christmas. Why does it exist? Why was He born of a virgin? Why did He do what He did? Notice what He said in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The purpose of Christmas, the reason He came to the earth, number one, is to bring life to men. I love the story with Lazarus. I love when He went to Mary and Martha, and their brother had already died. And they were so upset. And they said, "Lord, if You hadn't been late. Lord, if You hadn't been late." It's been 4 days now. He's thinking by now, "Lord, if You hadn't been late." Understand this. God is never late. And He's always on time. And He said, "Mary, Martha," He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this?" I believe. I believe. He said, "If you believe in Me, you'll never die. Believest thou this?" I hope you believe that this morning. When Jesus came to this earth, death has had its way with everybody. And I don't want to throw anybody for a loop, but I want to explain this for a second. But everybody, David, Abraham, Moses, when they died, they went to paradise. This was a holding place. And in this holding place, the saints of God would go because they couldn't go to heaven yet. You say, why not? The Bible said that you can only go through the Son, right? That's right. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And yes, they were saved, and yes, they went to paradise, but they could not go be with the Father until Jesus led them there. And death has had its way with everybody up to this point and up to this time. But when Jesus came to this world, He came to bring life. And when people died, they went to paradise, to this holding place. And yes, it was a better place than hell, but it wasn't eternity with the Father yet. But it was fixing to be, because life was coming. And when Jesus came to this earth, He came to bring life. And He came to defeat death, hell, and the grave. And let me tell you, the reason Christmas exists is because Jesus came to bring life unto death. I want you to know that He's not satisfied with death. You say, preacher, I'm still going to die. But friend, the sting of death won't be there if you know Jesus. And that's the problem with death, is there's a sting of death. And that sting of death is called sin and is called hell. And Jesus came and He broke the bonds of sin. So yes, we all die, but we don't have to face the sting of death. Praise God. If you're saved, you are alive forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? You will never go to hell. You will never truly die. You will live for all of eternity. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, what we do here is so important. It don't matter. Friend, we got eternity ahead of us. This life is short compared to the life over there. Notice what He said in verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice what He said in verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came to bring light to darkness. When Jesus came to the earth, there was nothing but darkness. The curse of sin, sin and death and tragedy and confusion. And I want you to know that Jesus came to bring life, and He came to bring light. Understand that when Jesus came into the world, He came to shine light down upon us. Isn't that beautiful? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You say, is there light in this world? Absolutely. And it comes from Jesus. Let me tell you, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of darkness in the world. There's a lot of darkness in our nation. But there is a light, and it's called Jesus Christ. And He came to shine this light among us. I'm glad to have a little light in my life. There was a day that I didn't know anything but darkness. I didn't know anything but sin and confusion. I didn't know anything but the world and but carnality. There was a day in my life I didn't know anything but everything going on outside of here. But let me tell you something. There's a whole other world that I didn't know about till Jesus came. And He shined a light down. And I got to see things that I've never seen before. And the kingdom of God was magnified. And His grace and His love and His mercy was magnified in my life. Because His light allowed me to see things I've never seen before. But there's a lot of people that don't comprehend that light. The Bible said there's a lot of people that don't receive that light. But I hope and pray you've received it this morning. I hope and pray that you've accepted that light this morning. Notice what He said in verse 12. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I know Baptists, we hate to get excited about being saved. But if anything ought to get you excited about being saved, it ought to be verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I want you to know when Jesus came, He came to reconcile men to God. He gave us the power. What does it take for us to become a child of God? Power. Power from another world. Okay? Power from heaven. Power from the Lord. In order for me to become a new creature, it takes some awesome power. And He gave us the power to become the sons of God. I tell you, we get scared to talk about the power of God. God's still powerful. And that same God that worked in the Old Testament and worked in the New Testament is still working today. His power is still alive. His power is still around. And shame on us if we don't receive that power and accept that power. You know what you ought to do? You ought to let the power of God change you today. Let the power of God impact your life. People say in this world, I don't know what happened to them people. They're crazy. All them Bible thumpers. I don't know why they're smiling all the time. What's wrong with them? Power. Jesus saved us. And He molded us. And He changed us. And He brought us into this new family. And to become this new creature. Aren't you glad to be saved this morning? Man, what a powerful change. You know what Christmas is about? It's about power. The power of the Lord. Now notice this last one. We're going to be dismissed. And the Word was made flesh, in verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. The last thing He came to do is to manifest God to the world. No clearer picture of God in this world than when Jesus came and dwelt among men. His fullness came. How do we know that God is real? Because He sent us His Son. And I see Him right here, Genesis to Revelation. And what a great manifestation of God. Notice verse 16. And of His fullness have we all received. I hope and pray you've received His fullness. And notice what it said at the end of 16. And grace for grace. Jesus came and He dwelt among men. What does that mean? The fullness of God came. And He said, we have received the fullness. I hope and pray you've received that fullness. And this is what the Bible said. And grace for grace. He's grace and truth. And I love this, and I've used this before. But grace for grace for grace for grace. An ocean is a constant thing. When you go out and you see the waves, you don't know a lot, but you know a wave's coming. You don't know how high, you don't know how low, you don't know how big, how small, but you know a wave is coming. Constant, constant, constant. Let me tell you something. God is constant. His grace is constant. And as sure as I know the wave is coming, I know the grace of God is coming. And as sure as I know the wave's coming, I know the love of God is coming. Amen? And it keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. Because we have received the fullness of who He is. And when you receive His fullness, it just keeps coming. You cannot exhaust the love and the riches and the grace and the mercy of God. You say, preacher, I've been saved and I've used up all the grace. No, you haven't. His grace is still sufficient. Preacher, I've been saved lots of years. I've used up all of His love. No, you haven't. If you've received of His fullness, it just keeps coming. Keeps coming. Hey, the stable's awesome. The star is awesome. The shepherds, the wise men, what a beautiful story. But to think that God took on humanity and came and dwelt among men so that we can be saved. Let me tell you something. He loves you today. And He loves me today. And He wants to save your soul. If you're here and you've never been saved, you need to be saved today. You need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And as you sat around with your family this morning, receiving all of those gifts, how great they were. But there's not a greater gift than Jesus Christ. And here you are with the family of God gathered around, having this wonderful service. How great it would be if you would receive the greatest gift ever known to man. And it's here for you. All you got to do is receive it. You say, preacher, I'm scared. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Walk this aisle this morning. Let me show you how to be saved. I can't save you, but I know a man who can. You can be saved where you are. But when you get done being saved, you walk this aisle and you confess Him before man so that He'll confess you before the Father. Child of God, He's given all for us. What have you done for Him? What are you doing for others? As I look at what God has done for me, I've got a question. What am I doing for Him? He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's stand. As she plays, you come. The invitation's open. The altar's open. If you need to be saved, come. You need to join the church, come. You need to make a decision, come. As she plays, y'all come.